Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, May the 26th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today. We thank you for all that you've shown us in the past, and we look forward to that which you will teach us today. We ask that you would fill us with understanding, that we might go forward and be prepared for that which is to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we continue in our study, and the subject is that we will be taking a look at Daniel chapter 8, and the subject would be the rise of the Vicar of Christ, the rise of the Vicar of Christ. And we are still in Bible Readings for the Home Circle, published in 1889. Now, but we want to assure you, we know that some of these studies are challenging, and we understand that, and that is the reason why we're going through them as we are. And we are going to go back through them again once we've finished this entire series. So you don't have to be afraid. And we are recording this so that you can, of course, go back and study something if you've missed it. But as time progresses, we will go back and we will touch on this again and again to make absolutely sure that you have an understanding of all it is that God is trying to say to us. Now, I want you to understand that a lot of the things that we are studying here have already begun to take place. And it is important that you understand it. You understand, you have a grasp of exactly what it is that God has been warning about and how it is playing out. So we will continue our study today. And as I said before, May the 26th, 2021, the subject today is the rise of the Vicar of Christ. The rise of the Vicar of Christ. And this is essentially dealing with Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. Question. What appeared unto Daniel in 538 BC, the same year in which Babylon fell? Daniel chapter 8 and verse 1 says, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. So what happened in 538 BC, the same year in which Babylon fell? A vision appeared unto the servant of the Lord. Question. Where was Daniel at this time? Verse 2 of Daniel chapter 8 says, and I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw, that I was in Shushan, in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw a vision, and I was by the river Ulai. Question. What first attracted the prophet's attention? Verse 3 says, then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. That's Daniel chapter 3 and verse, Daniel chapter 8 and verse 3. So now he's got a vision, Daniel chapter 1, and he was by the river Ulai. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 2. And now he sees this ram coming up out of the river. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 3. Next question. What power was represented by the ram having two horns? Daniel chapter 8 and verse 20 says, the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. All right, now notice something really interesting here. God is giving to Daniel an understanding of the future and all of these kingdoms that will be. But he starts out doing this in Daniel chapter 2, in which you've gotten all of these kingdoms already. You've got Babylon, you've got Medo-Persia, you've got Greece, you've got Rome, and they are all symbolic of a man, one man standing there. And as we've told you before, I believe one of the reasons why God used the image of a man is that a man has one mind. Which means that all of these kingdoms that you're seeing there in Daniel chapter 2 have one mind, one objective. And then a man has one heart, which means that that image in Daniel chapter 2 is driven by one power, the heart. They all follow the same heart. And it's symbolic of their political strength, their objective, etc. And then we get to Daniel chapter 7, which is a repeat of the same kingdoms. However, in Daniel chapter 10, they're described as animals. A lion, a bear, a leopard, a nondescript, which describes their political power. and the aggressive military planning and approach. And now we come to Daniel chapter 8, where we see something else, also dealing with one of these kingdoms, but this one is a ram. And Daniel chapter 8 and verse 20 says, "The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia." Of course, there's a reason why in each one of those chapters, God uses a different symbol to describe these nations. And as we have said before, this is an important part of our understanding. All right, so the last question I asked was, what power was represented by the ram having two horns? And that is found in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 20. "The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia." The next question, how are the rise and work of this power described? Daniel chapter 8 and verse 4 says, "I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast could stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. And he did according to his will and became great." Now that's amazing, because now this ram is really something else. He's pushing against every part of the universe, and no beast might stand before him. Of course, that lines up a little bit with what we saw in Daniel chapter 7 about that Medo-Persian beast being a bear. Remember, bear is strong, and when he steps on you, he mashes you down and destroys you completely. Well, now here is this ram doing approximately the same thing. "I saw the ram," says verse 4 of Daniel 8, "pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast, or for that matter, military power, might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand once he got his hands on you. But he did according to his will and became great." Next question. What symbol was next introduced in the vision? Daniel chapter 8 and verse 5 says, "And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes." So now he's looking at this first beast, the ram. Ram is pushing and westward, and northward and southward, and no beast can stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. And all of a sudden, verse 5 says, "I saw an he-goat come from the west on the face of the whole earth and touch not the ground." Now that's some movement there. "And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes." Now remember, when we were talking about Daniel chapter 7, we were talking about the leopard, and we were making the point that the leopard could move really fast. Huh? It was some symbolic of Greece at the time. And notice that this leopard that we were talking about in Daniel chapter 7 was moving at a tremendous pace. Notice the similarity in this he-goat who's coming from the west. He touches not the ground. And he's moving on the face of the whole earth, moving really fast. "And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes." Notice the symbolism, right? Notice the similarities between all of these dreams here. All right. Next question. What did the goat with the notable horn represent? Daniel chapter 8 and verse 21 says, "And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king." So notice now, the he-goat is Greece, just like the ram was Medo-Persia. Now, the one thing that's missing in Daniel chapter 8 is the Babylon, the lion, because that time for that is gone. But now notice as God moves forward, he is still using these symbols to give an understanding of exactly what we need to know in our time. All right. So the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king of the king of Grecia. Continuing. Next question. How was the conquest of Medo-Persia by Grecia foretold in this symbolic prophecy. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 7 describes it. It says, "And I saw him come close to the ram, and he was moved with shoulder against him, angry against him, and smote the ram and break his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stomped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand." Now that's amazing, because when you go back and you read Daniel chapter 4, as it describes the ram and its power, it's really amazing. Listen to what Daniel chapter 8 and verse 4 says about the ram. "I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast could stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will." In other words, he had his way and became great. But now, all of a sudden, you see this he-goat coming from the west, and he comes close to the ram, and he was moved with anger against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stomped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. So this he-goat was even more powerful now than the ram. Question: when the he-goat was strong, what occurred? Notice what Daniel chapter 8 and verse 8 says about that. And you know, I want you to follow this closely because it's very, very revealing. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 8 says, "Therefore the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And as for it came up four notable horns, one toward the four winds of heaven." So now the Grecian power came up. He beat the living daylights out of Medo-Persia. Nobody could deal with him at all. And now the he-goat becomes very strong. Notice that word. He waxed very strong. Now that's important. It's incredibly important because of what we know about Greece and Alexander the Great, and how they accomplished victories all over the world. All right. And of course, when they were strong, the great horn was broken. That original king died. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. I hope you're with me now. All right, continue. Next question. Who was represented by the great horn, and what followed when it was broken? Verses 21 and 22 of Daniel chapter 8 says, "And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king." Now you know who that is, right? "And that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power." So notice what is very important here, that the interpretation given is plain, that the notable great horn upon the he-goat represented Alexander the Great, who was the original king that went all over the world and conquering and to conquer and overcoming with incredible speed. Not only did he have incredible speed, but he was powerful in all ways you could want him to be. And ultimately he overcame all the nations around. Now notice what happened after he died. Upon his death, Alexander of Babylon, BC 323, there followed a brief period of confusion in the struggle for the kingdom, but the succession was definitely determined by a battle that was held in 301. And Alexander's four leading generals, Cassander, Lysimachus, Ptolemy, and Seleucus, became his successors. So now that is the fulfillment of what happened with the he-goat. The he-goat came, Alexander the Great came, He beat the living daylights out of Media Persia. And of course, shortly after that, he died. And then his four leading generals came to be in charge. That was the four horns that took his place. All right. Remember what verses 21 and 22 says. And the rough goat is the kingdom of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, Alexander the Great. Now that being broken, now he's dead. Whereas four stood up for it. Four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. That's incredible. All right. The vast empire created by Alexander's unparalleled conquest was detracted by the wranglings and wars of his successors. And before the close of the 4th century, before Christ, had become broken up into many fragments. Besides minor states, 4 well-defined and important monarchies rose out of the ruins. Their rulers were Lysimachus, Cassander, Seleucus Nicator, and Ptolemy, who had each assumed the title of king. The great horn was broken, that is Alexander, and instead of it came up 4 notable ones toward the 4 winds of heaven. And of course, you can find that story in many other books, but you can also find it in Meyer's History of Greece. History of Greece, that was published in 1902, and you can find that on page 457. All right. Next question. What came out of one of the 4 horns of the goat? Daniel chapter 8, verses 9 and 12 says, and out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great towards the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land. Now, what interpretation is given to this little horn? Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23 says, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. So that's the interpretation given concerning this little horn that comes out. All right, that is exceeding great. Next question. What did this little horn do to the people of God? Daniel chapter 8 and verse 10 says, and it waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. So now you see, out of this he goat comes a little horn, and he comes out and he starts to do some fantastic stuff. Question. In what literal language is this persecution of the people of God further described? And we're talking now about the fact that this little horn came out and he cast down some of the host and the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Verse 24 says, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper, and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. So that's a description of this little horn that comes up. And notice this little horn keeps coming up and doing some fantastic stuff, causing for the destruction of the people of God and the persecution that they're going to have to face constantly. Now, I want you to understand that this is just the beginning of this process that we're dealing with here. And we're going to take a look at this in the future as we go forward and continue to study this. I want you to know that what God has in mind here is our clear understanding of the truth, that we might be able to grasp all of what he has said in advance, so that when we look around us and we see the occurrences that are taking place right now, we will know that this God that we serve is able to protect, because he has warned in advance of all that is to come. Notice we've studied today from the beginning all the way through to this little horn that comes up out of the he-goat. All right? And he's a powerful, powerful little horn, able to accomplish some amazing things. In our next session, we will begin with the question, How was this little horn to exalt itself against Christ and his mediatorial work? We will begin there in our next session. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your blessings. We thank you for all that you continue to do for us day by day. As we continue to look at your work and your word, we ask that you would give us the strength to overcome all that we need to, that we will be prepared and given the strength that is necessary and the faith so that we might be able to stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, May the 26th, 2021.